Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Britt.
How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Hey, we're eating some food. The podcast is Soy Trek.
Oh, yeah.
You got Comrade Britt and Comrade Pat up in the hizzle.
Up in the hizzy.
Hizzle. What are
no
what
one
are,
says that anymore.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's probably because Snoop Dogg stopped smoking weed.
Oh, yeah.
You hear about that news this week?
I thought he did. Like, I thought that was an announcement that happened, like, forever ago. Honestly.
Yeah, he did that, I think, back when he became, like, Snoop Lion or something. He said he was giving up smoke, but then he went right back, so.
Mm.
Well, who knows how long it'll take.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying this probably is probably actually a secret way of him just like
selling edibles.
Yeah, selling edibles. He's like, oh no, I'm not actually.
I'm
really
not on the smoke. Yeah, I'm not giving up weed. I never said that.
Yeah.
What are you fucking crazy? I'm Snoop goddamn dog, brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two things you know about me. One, I smoke weed. Two, I'm going to heaven.
Mm. Hot.
Hot diggity damn.
Oh, yeah. Hot diggity dog.
So what's going on? It's been like 2 days since I seen you.
Yeah.
What's new?
My balls feel better.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Still got a little pains. Like, kind of hurts a little when I stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's feeling a lot better. I wonder if I'm going to go into unicycle class tomorrow.
No. Ow. No, thank you. I'd probably avoid that for a week.
No. I didn't do last week's unicycle class. I'm going to miss another one.
Oh, no.
I know. Don't want to miss my unicycling.
What do you think is the best number of wheels for a wheeled vehicle?
I guess two.
I like three, though. Mm. Three is really well balanced, is the thing.
Yeah, three is balanced. Mm-hmm. But I feel two has more maneuverability.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like three is the nice medium between maneuverability and balance, though.
Mm.
Because those old dudes who have, like, the motorcycles with, like, the giant two wheels on the side, the training wheels thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love seeing those guys because I'm like, damn, you're old.
There's also recumbent bicycles that old guys, weird old guys love.
Mm, with the arm things?
Yeah, it's like where you're laying back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always like seeing guys on recumbent bicycles. I think that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I'll one day become a recumbent bicycle guy.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I was like, always wish that we weren't such a car-centered culture. Because I think I was watching a clip yesterday of, like, a, like, bicycle parking garage, basically, that has, like, a long track. And that people, I think it was Germany or maybe Sweden. Who knows where the fuck it was. But, like, they were just, like, biking through this large complex that looks like a parking deck.
Huh.
But it was actually where people can go and lock up their bikes and then bike all the way through it, yeah.
Hmm. That sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have enough buy-in in America for that anyway.
Nope.
Like, even in heavily, heavily bicycled cities, we're talking like Minneapolis, Minnesota, Boulder, Colorado. Seattle's actually on that list.
Yeah.
Like, even in those places, there's not nearly enough buy-in for a bicycle parking garage anywhere, even like downtown Seattle.
No.
Wouldn't work. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, we have, like, this. Yeah, and they pretty much demand people fucking take, drive cars downtown. And driving cars downtown in Seattle is probably one of the worst things you can do. It's just, like, there's no parking.
Mm-hmm.
Parking's also expensive.
Yeah.
And it just creates tons of traffic because, like, the streets were never made for that much people to go through it. Like, the streets suck.
The streets are awful here because, yeah, they just, the city planners, the Seattle was built by four different city planners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everything's at weird angles. And we've got, like, 78th Street, Northeast 78th Street, South 78th Street Southwest, shit like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, nothing really makes any sense. But beyond that, like, it was designed, you know, mostly after, like, the Great Seattle Fire in, like, the 1930s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was designed like right when cars were like coming into existence and becoming like a factual reality. Very much like a place like San Francisco.
Or New York City.
Or New York City. Well, I mean, New York City is more like based off like horses and shit like that. But,
San Francisco, like LA. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why there's, like Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is actually about the decline of and destruction of like LA's once great public transportation system.
It is about that, but it is even more so about redlining. Yeah, I watched a YouTube video on this a little while ago, and like basically, like the cartoons are black people, ostensibly, and like it's about like, you know, 1940s, 50s, 60s Hollywood, and like the fact that like you could be a black actor, but at the same time you weren't afforded the privileges of any of your like white co-actors. And that's kind of what the whole movie's about.
And then we're going to demolish your neighborhood to build to build a giant highway for cars. Yep. Yep, and that's what they did in New York City as well. Destroyed black neighborhoods, built highways on top of them.
It was Robert Moses, I think. Was the guy who kind of masterminded that, city planner in New York. Also planned the 64 World's Fair. I read a really good book about Robert Moses a few years ago. I forget what the fuck it's called. It's like The Man Who's Something Something. And, yeah, that dude fucked everybody. I mean, by everybody, I mean black people specifically.
Yeah. And really set the stage for also just like our suicidal car addiction now, because, I mean, like, screwed over, like, like, destroyed black neighborhoods and displaced people, built highways, started, created, like, the, or the addiction to just, like, personal car ownership and our hatred of any sort of public transportation system. Like, any kind of funding for that.
And I think the biggest lie that's ever been sold to us as Americans is that the conflation of having a car to freedom of some sort. Because, like, I mean, when you think about car ownership, like, you think about all of the regulatory organizations and things that have their hand in that pot. And there is no freedom therein, you know? You can't drive a car unless it's registered. You can't drive a car unless you have a driver's license. You can't drive a car unless you have insurance on it. And so right there, that's three regulatory organizations that you are beholden to if you want this quote-unquote freedom. And I don't know of any sort of freedom that has three regulatory organizations making sure that you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's, you know?
I mean, it's the freedom for car companies' CEOs to make money.
That's
really like where our freedom
boils down. That's real freedom, baby.
That's really what our freedom boils down to, is just like, you know, someone being exploited, making money off other people. And so it's just like, well, you know, we can't make money if we have public transportation that like connects everyone into smaller cities and and allow you to get around without needing a car. You know, that's not being free. Like, it, being free is being able to drive to McDonald's that's 5 minutes down the road or something,
which is such so wrongheaded. Like, people seem to have forgotten that the word free has the word free in it,
and meaning, dom
true. Well, I said the word free, so I don't know how it has dom in it, but but, like, if you have to pay, if something is commodified, it's not a free system. No. It's not an open system.
That's it's not a system that's available to everyone, regardless of status.
That includes public transportation, because very few places in the world is public transportation, you know, subsidized and free.
Especially they're cracking down on the light rail.
Like, they are. They're now, you're now like required to show your fare or whatever. I just whip out my dick. I'll be like, is that fair?
They got tired of people riding for free. And lately, light rail's been really fucked up. Like, they've, this has been, it's, they've been like only, only having one lane open.
Oh, they have two lanes again.
Do they?
Yeah. Thank God. As of like last month, yeah.
I don't know. When I tried to go to my vasectomy appointment, I was going to originally take the light rail down to Northgate and then take a bus there to the appointment, and the light rail was down.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, occasionally, like, one of the tracks will go down, and they'll need to repair it, so they'll just be running one track, which really fucking sucks. I hate that.
Yeah.
That makes it... And, like, the light rails, at least in midday, don't come nearly as often as they should already. They already need more trains. They do it, like, once every 10 minutes, which, like... It should be every 4 to 6 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
But then when you only have one track running, you get, like, one train every 20 minutes, which is problematic.
Yeah.
Not easy for anybody.
Nope. Yeah, when I was waiting to take the light rail to Northgate, trains kept coming, and then they were just like, nope, we're going the opposite direction. So I was like, well, when's one going to the direction I need to go? And they're just like, I don't know. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, thank you.
And so that's actually one of my big qualms with, like, the East Coast in general, is their transportation systems are worse than ours objectively everywhere except for major urban areas.
Yeah, New York City is pretty well connected, but they're just like...
New York City's pretty great. Boston's not bad. Philadelphia's not bad, at least their bus system. Like, and then trains go, like, everywhere around that area, which is nice.
Yeah.
But, like, in any city with less than 500,000 people, they don't have fucking buses.
No.
They don't have shit.
No.
Like, the place my brother lives in right now, New London, which is probably about the size of Kirkland. Kirkland's got great public transportation. New London doesn't have fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nowhere. There's an Amtrak out of there, and that's all you got. So,
yeah. I love that. No, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not nearly as bad as something like growing up in Alaska, where... Fun fact, there's one bus... that goes to my home from my hometown to Anchorage, and it picks up and drops off 4 times a day. It's like 6:30, 7:30 a.m., and then like 5:30, 6:30 p.m. That's it. If you miss your bus, you're fucking stuck in town, or you don't get to go to work.
Yeah. Hells yeah.
Well,
guess you got to go into debt to buy a car.
Yep, you certainly do. And that's, I mean, it's, and that... That sounds like freedom to me, baby.
That sounds like freedom to me.
It sounds like if you can't rely on public transportation and like cities built or the systems built into your cities in order to get places, it sounds very freeing to me to have to buy a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then owe money to someone and be beholden to someone else, even.
Yeah. No basic things are guaranteed in this country. Not with food, shelter, transportation, healthcare, all the things that, you know, in some other developed countries, you can pretty find a much, a much better support system.
Yeah, yeah. The only real guarantee in America is that no matter what you do, your financial dick will be bled dry by a corporate vampire.
Yeah. We're basically just fighting off vampires every day, just like that, trying to suck every single drop of money out of us.
Yeah, those fucking money vampires, baby. You know, there's probably a movie in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, money vampires.
Money vampires.
That, like, yeah, the only way they, like, gain power and stay alive is, like, stealing from people, basically.
That would be a good reimagining of the vampire myth, because, you know, originally it was, like, vampires were... that came out of, like, some sort of, like, fear of disease.
Right, right.
And really now we just see we see vampires every day. Just like,
we see that late-stage capitalism is the disease.
Yeah. Late-stage capitalism is the disease here. And that would be a good change of pace.
Yeah. And they're just, like, really pasty white people. So, like, they still... They still have, like, all of the things that vampires have. They can't go out into the sun because they burn really easy because they're pasty-ass white people. They don't like garlic because they have no taste, and they don't like salt either.
They don't like salt.
They don't like salt because they're white people and, like, bland-ass, boiled-ass chicken and shit. You know, you can kill them with a stake to the heart because you can do that with anybody.
Yeah. Were the vampires? I never seen Twilight, but could you kill the Twilight vampires with a stake to the heart?
I think so. I don't think anyone ever did though. Mm. And the sun didn't kill him; it just made him sparkly.
Yeah, it just made him sparkly. That's why I lived in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Old Forks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know enough about Twilight to know what their weaknesses were.
Well, if you're on the Patreon, guess what you're suggesting next time?
No, I'm not.
You're not on the Patreon, so you can't suggest shit, buddy.
I know, but I'm begging.
Our begging patrons to not have to watch Twilight.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm sorry.
What about Taint Light, the Twilight parody? Or Twilight parody?
Is Taint Light the gay porn parody?
No, it's just like a very, very bad parody that I think was made in Portland of all places.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Nah, I probably won't watch that.
Yeah, it's maybe on my bottom 10 movies I've ever seen. It's real fucking bad. Real fucking bad.
Yeah. From what I've seen, like the animatronic baby thing, I saw a clip of that once, mm-hmm. and that would seem terrifying.
Yeah. Would you ever stick your dick in an animatronic baby?
No.
How much money would you stick your dick in an animatronic baby for?
Everyone's got a price. You know what? I'm going to make it so I never come in contact with an animatronic baby or anyone or sort of like a Robert Redford type character saying mm-hmm. like $1 million to sleep with this animatronic baby.
This is your leaving Las Vegas moment.
Yeah. My indecent proposal. Yeah. Good. I'll give you $1 million to have sex with my animatronic baby.
Wah!
No, Robert Redford. Get the fuck out of my face.
Wah, wah, fuck me. Wah, wah, fuck me.
I mean, they basically are. They do sell like almost like sort of like weird vibrating like corpse, like headless bodies that you.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see those on porn every now and again too.
I have not seen those in porn myself.
Well, someone's not using the right search terms, are they?
Headless animatronic sex.
Guy fucks headless doll. There we go.
There we go.
That's what I was looking for. That's the money.
Can't imagine like buying one of those and having it in your house and just being like, where do you even store it? Is it like with like underneath your bed or just mm-hmm. like in a closet with like Christmas decorations?
Yeah. You know how they have a pocket pussy? It's more like a backpack pussy at that point.
Yeah.
Maybe a camping backpack.
Do you ever wonder, because I know you... Have you seen the Rockefeller Explosion?
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Great documentary.
That documentary is so fucking good. And
the
like,
dude who has those things is so fucking weird.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
You kind of have to have like a certain level of like autism to just like want to have your own.
A certain level. He has Autism Plus. He's got the subscription service. Build yearly.
Be like, I'm going to buy these animatronic pizza robots and have them perform just for me inside of a barn.
Uh-huh.
But
he has sex with them.
That's what I was getting to. I was just like, you know, they're...
He makes them the cockifier explosion.
Because I was wondering, so it's like, you know, there are those people that buy these online. They buy like the rare like former robots, the ones that haven't been turned into, because like a lot of them were repurposed as
became Chuck E. Cheese things.
So. Yeah, but like that people can get their hands on them, and I do wonder if there is sort of, especially with like, you know, the popularity of like that thing for Five Nights at Freddy's, whatever.
Oh yeah, Five Nights. Yeah, that movie just came out too.
Yeah, like I'm sure there is like a subset of people that do buy them for sex.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if something is made and you can either put your dick in it or mm-hmm. put it up a hole, someone has had sex with it. Someone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever you can think of, like the microphones we're talking into now.
Oh God!
Someone stuck one of these. Not mine personally.
Okay.
Yet. Big yet there. Capital Y. Yet. Yeah. Like someone's definitely stuck every single type of microphone in their pussy before,
mm-hmm.
or their butthole.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, because there is that sort of like fetishization with like that kind of stuff. And I remember when I was much younger, I used to go to this one website called Portal of Evil that would find bizarre websites online. Mm-hmm. And there was one website of this guy. He basically dedicated his life to the female mouse from Rescue Rangers.
Gadget?
Yes. Is that her name? Uh-huh. Gadget. Uh-huh. And so...
Oh, I know her name.
I know her name.
It's burned into my Google search history.
So that was a really fun, like, kind of just like early introduction to just how weird the internet was going to eventually be. Just uh-huh. like seeing that at very young and just being like, okay, so this guy just fell in love with a cartoon mouse
uh-huh.
and just had lots of...
Let's be fair. Her body banging. Her body real banging. Like in that little onesie jumpsuit thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like almost like April from the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's true.
Who, let's be honest, we'd all fuck Shredder.
Shredder, yeah. Voiced by the dad from Fresh Prince.
Yeah. It was. Avery something, or something Avery.
Avery.
Phil, no.
Yeah, what was his name?
Yeah, it wasn't Avery Brooks, obviously.
No.
It's something. Oh, well, I don't have my phone.
Son of a bitch.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you can just look up Uncle Phil.
Yeah, Uncle Phil was Uncle the voice.
Phil. Phil.
When I found that out, I was just like, oh my God.
Uh-huh. Well, he's got a deep-ass voice. He almost sounds like James Earl Jones, kind of, in his like deep basso profundo boomingness.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, cool. And said that James Avery.
James, there we go. Yep, I got one of them right.
Yeah, well,
hell yeah, baby.
But I don't know if you've been watching the Invincible series.
I have not. That's on season 2 now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I love it. Like the high school the characters go to is named after the dad from Family Matters. It's called Reginald Bell Johnson High.
Yeah, yeah. Or also known as the cop from Die Hard.
From Die Hard. He's basically the same character.
No, he is the same character. Yeah. Die Hard is a sequel to Family Ties.
Interesting.
Family Matters, sorry.
Well, I guess that character was in another series, like Reginald Bell Johnson.
He was, yeah. I forget what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but... But in the second season, Reginald Bell Johnson voices the principal of Reginald Bell Johnson High.
No, that's fine. That's actually very, very funny.
Yeah. I know. I like that. I was just like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and I think his name's like, Principal Winslow or something.
Nice. Love to see it.
Love to see it.
Well, we're all done with breakfast.
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
Breakfast for lunch.
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it is near 1 o'clock. Okay, you're right. Well, I concede the breakfast time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I like breakfast. I love breakfast foods.
This has been the Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God and Patrick the Demigod.
The Demigod.
The Fallen Angel.
No, this has been Soy Trek. I've been Britain.
Nah, I'm Pat.
Thanks for hanging with us, Soldiers. Bye-bye.
Bye.